Hello. That's not true. New Year's Acme Dynamite
What's
things. Welcome to Debatable, a fake television show where we begin with a countdown. David Jacoby is joining us today. Hello, David Jacoby. What's up, man?
Hello, Pablo.
Yo, I was absolutely awake at like 3 a.m. last night for reasons that are beyond public disclosure. Just like vibing out on my couch to the new Drake. Hello, Dominique.
No
What's
one
up?
told me about the new Drake. I thought it was going to be a Drake album when I played it. And no one told me. Like, I didn't read people write about it. And I played it and I was just like, wait, we're doing another song like this? It was like he went to, goes
So
to
far, I'm
Ibiza
not
once,
hearing a problem.
goes
That
to
all
Ibiza
sounds
once,
great.
ends up recording an hour-long dance track album.
Wait, are you about to defend the honor of Drake Alabaster, or what's going on here?
Definitely not. I just need Dominique to refresh so we can hear his mic.
Oh,
Oh, very good.
I always find the show's better when we can't hear Dominique anywhere.
Is that
You
better?
guys
I'm
want to
glad
talk about
that we didn't have to expose America to all of that Drake slander.
Tap tap.
Alabaster. Oh, there it is. A tap tap. A tap tap is in registered
Oh,
Alabaster,
I like
so
that deep Drake. It was people didn't want to hear his anti-Drake takes. Okay,
that's
we'll talk about the
correct.
draft. That's fair. We can talk about the draft.
All right, you guys ready for some
Alabaster.
NBA draft talk?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right. I love the NBA draft. I love all drafts. They are fascinating. Hope springs eternal. But I want to know what intrigues you most about tomorrow night's NBA draft.
Wow, all drafts. So keep that in mind. U.S. military. Alabaster is
Yeah.
volunteering for
Except for
you.
conscription.
Coors Light, Goose
Forthwith.
Island, all drafts. All drafts.
First drafts?
Drafting on bicycles.
Nice. Cool. Draft
Um,
beer?
email drafts. I kind of kept those a to-do list in my email drafts for a long time. People did not enjoy that
You
because I
dropped the
never
ball.
remembered when things were happening. All right, picking the ball back up. I think we should be intrigued by Chet Holmgren.
That's
Can we
it.
all agree? Can we all agree on this? Because if we're numb to a guy who is 7'1", 195, and can do all of the things that he does, we've become too numb to enjoy anything in this world, basically.
I mean,
And he might not even go number one.
he's by far the most interesting, and I think like actual people who follow this seem to think he has the highest ceiling for obvious reasons. Like, he's going to walk in the league as a legitimate rim protector. And I think the issue with most rim protectors, or like top of the line rim protectors, is that they stink on offense and they become a liability on that end of the floor. That ain't Chet. Chet can handle the ball. He can shoot even better than a credible 3-point shot. He can create offense. He seems to
He
pass
ma'am.
well enough. Yeah, he bangs on people. He's aggressive and intense. Like, he has all the makings of a superstar, except for the fact that he weighs about as much as an NFL kicker.
It's so you're right. One thing I like that you said, Dominique, was it's the aggression part. Like, he's kind of like a killer. Like he's in these big games, like these under 17 games, like he shows up and shows out in the close games. He plays hard. One thing that I remember is Kristaps Porzingis coming into the league, right? If you look at Kristaps Porzingis pre-draft and Kristaps Porzingis now, they're two completely different people. So, like, I'm not as concerned about his body, but I do agree that he is the most interesting player in the draft. Maybe not the most interesting thing that interests me, but I think he will develop the strength. I mean, he'll have like a team of people to do that. But you never know, man. You just like, it's like it's also like Zion. We had Zion was just like this. Zion Williamson. We've never seen anyone with his body type before. That is a good thing or a bad thing, Pablo?
Well, this is the question, right? Like, how much does weight matter? We've talked about size ad nauseum in the league, right? Like, the idea of being tall has changed in value over time. Right now, it's very ideal to be a mobile big. He, though, is taking it to a new extreme, to your point, Jacoby. And Jonathan Givony, who is our in-house draft expert, I had him on ESPN Daily, and he makes this very cogent, firm argument that skinniness is something that people worry about way too much. And for me, it goes back to the Kevin Durant thing, right? Where Kevin Durant could not, I don't even know, Dominique, if benching 185 any number of times.
It was 135, right?
Yeah.
Was it, whatever,
it was like 135.
It was 135.
So
yeah, that's bad.
True to the point I was trying to make, I have no idea what's actually impressive in terms of the bench press. But the fact is, Kevin Durant was like, look, I can lift a basketball.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is a lesson that we should remember here.
Yeah, these guys are so young. I think to your point, Jacoby, that their body type changes. You look at Giannis before he was drafted or even in his first couple seasons, your body type changes. We assume, especially guys like me who like come from the NFL world, you get drafted in NFL, you're expected to play right away. This is somewhere between that and baseball in that you're expected to play right away, but no one expects you to dominate the league right away. We have Jason Tatum, who's what year is this for him? Like 5? And we still are like, he's got some room to grow and he hasn't matured into his best self. And like that sort of stuff happens in basketball in a way that it doesn't happen in other sports. So you have to project. And the thing about his body type, we have seen his body type, I think. So I disagree even with the basketball experts. We haven't seen his body type with the skill that he has. So I wouldn't care as much about him being too skinny as much as I would care about, I don't know how your joints work when you're like that and you move like that. Because like we've seen like Sean Bradley, Manute Bol, like we've seen really tall, really skinny guys in the NBA before. We have not seen anyone that tall and that thin do the type of things that he's done. And as he ages and gets heavier, combine that with like your ligaments and joints get a little bit more brittle as you get older. Like, that's the hardest thing for me to predict because when we watch Zion play, he looks so explosive that every play looked like an injury when he was in college. Like, everything he did, I thought he was hurt after every play. And the same thing happens with Chet where I'm watching his explosive, smooth movements and I'm just watching those knees like bang around, and that scares me. I don't think he's too skinny to survive, but I do worry about, like, the physics of a body like that in the NBA in the duration of the season and as much tax as you're putting on it.
Yeah, Alabaster, it is also part of a scouting report that Chet Holmgren, and this is a good thing, it's an Embiid-style thing, actually. He falls a lot and gets right back up. And you're like, the falling, though, do we need to fall that much? Yes. Is that actually a pro?
So I will say one of the things that's interesting about Chet is we are just, as you said, projecting durability issues because we just have never seen a body like that
totally work out.
He has not been hurt yet. But I think a comp that you made earlier, Dominique, was incredibly factual, comparing his weight to a kicker's. He weighs the exact same amount as Evan McPherson. Oh. They are both 194 pounds. Listen, not 195. They didn't round it up. 194.
How tall is Evan McPherson?
5'11".
Yeah.
That's outrageous.
I mean, to be clear, Jacoby, it is Chet Holmgren more than any person I have seen at this level of draft prospect is like one of those photos that you resized without doing the proportions. It's just like this is a little distorted, admittedly.
You got a whole shift on that thing.
But it's like I think you guys one thing I want to build on is Dominique says, like, we've seen Manute Bol and we've seen Sean Bradley, but like these like bigs, these like sort of new era bigs, a lot of times they can rebound, they might be able to block shots, they might be able to catch lobs, and they can shoot, right? Like that's kind of like, wow, unicorn, right? That's Kristaps Porzingis. Chet Holmgren does so much more.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
Chet Holmgren, he'll up fake, drive to the lane, inside out, cross you, and spin and finish with this offhand. Like he does stuff that those other people don't do. He's like adding to the tool set. Another thing about Chet Holmgren is he averaged 14 points in college. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, this isn't that impressive. 14 points, you know what I mean? It's a good team.
Yeah.
Good Timmy. Like, they had some spacing issues. It wasn't really, like, built around him. But it is 14 points. It's still 14 points. It's not, like, crazy. And if you're the Magic, you've got Paolo Banchero sitting right there.
You would go Banchero? You go Banchero over Jabari Smith, who is currently the guy that everyone is saying the Magic are going to take?
Yes, everyone is saying that Jabari Smith, and no one's going to ask me, but I would go with Paolo Banchero because he's just so NBA ready. He's just so NBA ready.
If I were the Warriors a couple years ago when they like fumbled into the first round pick because of all those injuries.
The second pick.
I would go with the guy who seemed most NBA ready. But if I'm the Magic, I'm going with the guy at the highest ceiling. Because, like, no matter how no matter how NBA ready the guy you bring in is. And it's kind of unfair because we've never had someone that we say is the most NBA ready or pro ready and also has the highest ceiling. But right. Maybe there is potential for him to have a high ceiling also, but that's not the way it's been built to me. And since I haven't been in all these gyms and watching all this tape, I'm going to accept that he is maybe as close to a finished product as he's going to be, Banchero, that is. And I don't want that because what he is right now is not the number one player on a championship team. Chet Holmgren has the potential to grow into that if we're going to believe that he has a ceiling. And he also is very NBA ready because he can protect the rim and he also can shoot well enough that he's not going to clog the lane for your for any of your
and
other players.
So. And switches, like this all becomes about pick and rolls and getting switched onto smalls. He is so long that he's not like the quickest laterally, but he's just so long that he can give you enough space and still contest like a three-point shot by not having to get up close to you and then get beat off the dribble like that, as we've seen some other great tall defenders do.
Alabaster's been writing please for the podcast audience on his interjection cards, and I don't know if he has a non-please card at this point.
He doesn't. He doesn't.
So everything seems very urgent, so what the hell do you want?
I do. I just, like, you know, you catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar, and you guys seem to respect the please card more. First of all, I got to push back a tiny bit on Jacoby's sort of, you know, hand-waving at Chet's stats. He shot under 9 times a game, was incredibly efficient. He's also a really good ball mover and passer, so, like, the rip and run stuff with him is sort of Horford and Draymond and that he can be a point center at times. But to your point, Dominique, you really think Chet's ready next year to be like a real contributor? Because I think that's the big thing holding me back with him is that he might play like 22 minutes a game and get physically dominated for the first like 2 years he's at the next level.
By who? There's like 4 players in the league. Jokic, like, Embiid, and like the list kind of stops there.
That's it. Yeah, like there aren't guys that are – And no one runs offense where, like, they back him down and body him. Like,
Patrick Ewing isn't in the league right now.
I don't see that happening. Like, I think that he'll be able to be a rim protector. One-on-one defense against Embiid, he's going to be as bad as everyone else is. Like, he's not going to be a problem in that any more than anyone else would be a problem in there. Like, I don't buy that at all. And I do think his offensive game may not translate as quickly as we – or as easily as we see it in college, but I don't think the pro team is going to ask him to do that. They're going to get him out of the way. They're going to put him in pick and roll. They're going to allow him to clear the lane every now and then, run a play for him, but they're not going to ask a whole bunch of him on that end. Just learn how to play defense.
Look at the center position in the Eastern Conference, up and down the Eastern Conference outside of Embiid.
Yeah. No, I also think, Alabaster, you're again interjecting here, but I do feel like we also shouldn't expect Chet Holmgren to suddenly put on like 20 to 30 pounds.
Right.
Like, I think he's going to be, because I think this version of him is going to be a lot like what he remains. I don't think he's a guy who is trying to get bigger. I think this is who he is. Kevin Durant didn't put on weight either.
You may know this, Pablo. You may not have figured this out or not, but as you get older, you don't have to try to put on weight.
I can do 20 pounds over a summer so easily. I can do 20 pounds by next week's show.
Alabaster, as a former fat kid, I assume you have insight on this.
Oh my god, I stare at a carb and I put on that 20. But no, the thing that I should have phrased better with my first rejection, I don't think it's just about the center position. I think that one of the things that's so tantalizing about Chet is his movement and the way he can switch. But I think, you know, when you looked at Gonzaga playing Duke early in the season, what Banchero did to him when he got switched off of Mark Williams, he was guarding Banchero on the perimeter. It's going to be wings and guards that actually I think will give Chet physical trouble with like straight line drives and pushing him out of position, because like his shot blocking instincts are incredible. He's totally unique. But if he's, you know, pushed into the stanchion by a Jalen Brunson or a Marcus Smart or a Desmond Bane or a power wing, like his value is diminished. And I think he will slowly grow strong enough to defend those guys. But I think that's a real concern for him immediately.
I do think there is a scouting question fundamentally about what is the value of length and wingspan versus like low to the ground size. Because Desmond Bane, I mean, when you mention that, I can see Desmond Bane's girth being a problem in the physics equation. But I also feel like a guy who has like an 8-foot wingspan will have a pretty good way to prevent Desmond Bane from getting what he wants to do as well, would be my instinct there.
I think one thing is a concern for Chet, which we didn't see in college, is foul trouble. We always talk about his rim protection, his shot blocking, and he is very good at that. He's good at sort of challenging without fouling, but the NBA offensive players are just so good at drawing those fouls. And I think that they could look at someone that young and that can test that many shots and sort of just like see an opportunity to get foul trouble on him, and he'll be playing 22 minutes for other reasons. But can I answer this question differently?
Yes. Go ahead.
Pistons at number five. Like, we know who's going 1, 2, 3, 4. It's just a matter of where. It's just Pistons at number five.
Why? Because to me, Jacoby, to me, I'll just say this very briefly. To me, I would go Kings there because the Kings at number four haven't made the playoffs in 16 years, have had 12 different head coaches. And yeah, explain the Jaden Ivey thing.
I think it's going to be Ivey there, right? Like, I would say that of the first four picks, we don't really know what 1, 2, 3 is going to be, but I'm almost positive that 4 is going to be Ivey. It's like, oh, does he fit with De'Aaron Fox? Like, guess what? We'll get two great basketball players in the same team and we'll figure it out. But then 5 is where it's like there's probably a handful of players that I could see going in that spot. There's like the Shaden Sharp and Keaton Murray and like, you know, Daniels and from the G League. There's just like a lot of different ways.
Oh, Dominic, we've lost first names. We've lost the first names already.
Dyson Daniels. All right. Dyson Daniels. Nice go ahead. Job. Test me again.
No, nobody's testing you. You lost me once you got past those first three. Like I'm everybody else I'm not interested in. So, I mean, I guess we don't know who they're going to pick, but I also don't know who they are. So please. Yeah,
I'm definitely not going to, like, whatever the kid is from New Zealand, I'm not saying his name.
Oh, Jang, yeah. It's been in there.
Osman Jang. Like, yeah. I can't do that.
Whenever we talked about the draft the last couple of days, my move is to start talking about next year's draft. Once I am out of things to say about the top three guys, I'm going straight Victor Wembanyama.
Victor Wembanyama. Yeah.
Dominique is Victor, still. Is
I love
still...
the French guy. Frenchie.
Dominique is still not saying his last name correctly. He's been doing this for 3 days.
He still goes
Wembanyama, not Wembanyama, which is his actual name.
Wembanyama.
There it is.
Thank you.
Very good. I just like how all of these superlatives you've been assigning these guys, you know, most NBA ready, highest ceiling, those are all insults. Like, if you're talking to somebody like a potential spouse, you're not explaining to your friends, you know what? Real relationship ready. Yeah, real marriage ready. No, has a high ceiling. Has a high floor. Yes.
Safest, like, all of safest these... pick for a relationship. Yes. Safest pick for a relationship.
We've had 12 other...
I want to do a full show like this where we break it all down. Like, what are his cheating numbers? What does cheating numbers look like in high school?
It does have some flirting problems. Gets in flirt trouble often and early.
He's a winker. Yeah. That guy's a winker. He's a winker. Yes. He's a hug guy. He hugs everybody. It may not mean anything. It may not turn anything more. But you know, huggers, they get into it sometimes.
Does not submit his medicals.
I like that. That's a good one. He goes on a lot of visits.
Medical issues. Alabaster. Thank God.
No, I'm not done. He can cook. High floor. The guy can cook. You know one thing.
Okay.
You're not gonna go hungry.
Okay. Let's move on. And guys, it's time for the ultimate ESPN sports Mad Lib. Can I sell you on a topic that includes the Lakers, Michael Jordan, Russell Westbrook, offseason trades, LeBron James, Anthony Davis? Because that's what I've got for you.
I love this.
Does the Hornets' alleged interest in Russell Westbrook make sense to you?
Okay, so should we try to tackle this from the perspective of it actually making sense? Because there is a version of this in which
LeBron,
it actually does kind of make sense. But okay, where do you guys want to go with that?
There is not a version where this makes sense. Other than... Westbrook and Jordan wearing the same shoes. Like, there's nothing about this that makes any sense for a young program that's trying to build something around a ball dominant special guard to bring in a ball dominant formerly special guard. Like,
I thought you were saying bald dominant, reference to Michael Jordan, which is also accurate, but
also LaMelo Ball dominant, which as someone who loves LaMelo Ball and loved LaMelo Ball before he got drafted, I was alone on that. I do want to say this. I don't watch the Hornets last year and say, you know what? They're Mike D'Antoni and Russell Westbrook from really making a run at this championship. You know what I mean? Like, I did this. Those were not things that just like, those weren't the two missing pieces to the puzzle. Like, you know what? We'll bring in Mike D'Antoni. We'll completely disregard defense. And then we'll bring in Russell Westbrook because we've got this. They've got what they need. They've got a guy like a James Harden type with a different type of game where it's like, just give him the ball, like a Luka type. Give him the ball. Let him create on every possession. Like, why would you bring Russell Westbrook into that mix? Mike D'Antoni's going to look at his offense and say, like, all right, it's like a Luka Harden thing. Like, give LaMelo Ball the keys to the car and have everyone sit in the back seat. But no, now we're going to bring in Russell Westbrook, who sits on the hood.
I love, by the way, that Mike D'Antoni, real low floor. Sorry, real low ceiling, high floor. Sorry, that's the compliment I want to pay Mike D'Antoni. I find it funny that he would be the coach in this hypothetical world where Russell Westbrook is a Hornet, because Mike D'Antoni, we all know, he loved coaching Carmelo Anthony. He loved coaching Kobe Bryant. He loves a ball-dominant scorer who does not do the things in his offense that he wants them to do. But look, Dominique, okay, you're about to interject, but can I make the case for why this actually makes sense?
No.
Because there is a world in which it makes sense. There is. Alabaster's going to back me up on this, which is maybe to my discredit. But he put down this card that is the truth. They're going to have a bunch of guys, LaMelo Ball included, Miles Bridges included, who are going to need to be paid more. And so what the Hornets are theoretically doing here is saying, hey, Lakers, we'll send you Gordon Hayward. We'll send you, what's the dude who, the guard, Terry Rozier, Scary Terry. We'll send you Scary Terry. And in exchange, give us Russell Westbrook on his last deal of his contract. So they're clearing money. I mean, they're punting on a season, you might argue, if they're going to bring in Russell Westbrook.
Definitely punting. That does make clearing some money. Sense. That does make some sense from like a ledger standpoint. Bringing in that $47 million that leaves next year, that gives you cap space for the following year, because they're not going to contend next year no matter what they do. So that does make some sense from a finances standpoint.
They're so desperate that Brian Windhorst, Dominique, is saying, we'll even give you the 15th pick to take Gordon Hayward and his $62 million over 2 years from us.
And then maybe Westbrook can make them bad enough that they can get my man Frenchie, Victor Wembanyama.
This is like, would they stash him like a John Wall thing? I could see that happening. That would be, if you were to pitch this to
what
me
is stashing
as a
like,
strategy,
like Russell Westbrook would be stashed like John Wall? You mean? Yep.
Yes, like you're on the team, but we don't want you around. You're not playing because we want to develop
the whole Al Horford, the Al Horford move.
The Al Horford move. Mm. They did it with Andre Drummond in Cleveland. They did it in Houston with John Wall.
Yes.
It was insane, but who knows?
Which is a great compliment on one level, Alabaster. You're too good for us. So just here, $47 million to do nothing.
Yeah, and so I think it's really interesting. One, worth noting that Westbrook did play for D'Antoni, and that's when he put him at center.
Yep.
He actually had that weird career resurgence.
That was actually
awesome.
That was like
awesome. A 17-game run where that really worked.
Yeah,
after the Capella trade.
Yeah, he was a big.
But also, it's also worth noting that, you know, LaMelo, while he is awesome, he did sort of plateau a tiny bit in his sophomore season. So pairing him with Russell Westbrook, maybe not the best thing for his development. But I want to ask you just about Russ moving forward. Is this just like his status quo moving forward? Is this like formerly great player every year we're going to talk about what team will take the poison pill of Russell Westbrook? And like is his career over as a significant player?
Yeah. I think so, and I think it seems like it's going to be the case for a lot of players. We thought it was going to be Chris Paul, but he surprised us. It was good. But every now and then, we're going to come a point where a guy's getting paid. I mean, it might be Jimmy Butler in a couple years who's going to be carrying around a $50 million tag. I think that's just the way that the NBA is. I'm not going to say it. I'm going to let you say it because it needs to be said.
It's coming. It's coming. The silhouette's coming. You don't have to say it.
Oh, I know what you're going to say. But I think that the position that Harden is next summer is really interesting for Russell Westbrook. Because if you're his agent, I know you just got paid $47 million last year, but we don't have offers at that number right now. How do you feel about 3 years and $50 million? You know what I mean? That's where we're going to be at the end of next season.
What year is he going to be in? Like, at some point, I know that – I remember reading a profile about him a while ago, just about his defiance in the face of all criticism and how he was too small and they thought he wasn't going to be at the camp, and he forced his way into the camp and balled out, and at every step he was denied. But at some point, you got to look up and accept the truth of the situation. Is he going to be able to accept that next year or after next season? I assume not. Maybe he's going to go in exile like Carmelo did for a year before he was willing to come back and take a tiny deal to be a contributor. But can you imagine a situation where
he doesn't
have that value? He's not good at defense. He can't shoot. He's getting older and slower and less explosive. Who wants to have Russell Westbrook run their second unit off the bench? Nobody.
So there is, though, a world, and this is not the world he wants to live in, to be clear, but there's a world in which it is fun for everybody else. And I think it could be fun for him because we talked a while back about, you know, and this is sort of established truth now, Draymond Green is a terrible, he's one of the worst bad team players. If his team is bad, he is somebody you want nowhere near them. Russell Westbrook, to me, remains the opposite. Like, Russell Westbrook on a bad team where nothing matters, and it's just
that,
like,
Wizards,
hey, man,
run, dude,
go ball. Yes, just ball the bleep out. Like, do that. Go do that for a while. Go tour. Go be like, you know, a fill-in karaoke singer for the worst teams in the NBA. You will be beloved.
Sir.
We need to talk about LeBron James because we haven't talked about LeBron James. We've been talking about a Lakers adjacent topic for quite
right
some
there.
Time. And I want to say this about LeBron about James. That, so when I saw this, I was like, wait a second. So they're shopping Russell Westbrook and they're giving up THT and their first round pick. Their only two assets that they could possibly improve with to maybe open up some cap for next year. However, this could be LeBron James's last year on the Lakers. And if Anthony Davis goes down for 40 games and they repeat last season and you're LeBron James and you're trying to get six championships and you're trying to finish out your career and with relevance, making the play-in, couldn't you see a world in which this implodes again for the Lakers and LeBron looks up and says, you know what? There is no future here contending. I'm out.
I want to go to Charlotte.
I don't think he ends up in Charlotte in that scenario.
Oh, I like Michael Jordan. And Mike's going to put his jersey back on. He's coming down. I want Mike's Jordan and LeBron on the same floor.
When Michael Jordan starts tanking for a totally separate reason, he's just like, no. Not letting him get close to six.
That would be hilarious. What if he was playing for Jordan's team and Jordan's like, man, I want to win, but when he wins, then I don't get to hold that over him anymore. Then he runs
That's
out on
the
floor and tackles LeBron. I like
what
that.
The ultimate last, competitor would
last
do.
Dance
the ultimate
two.
Competitor.
Last dance two. The last dance.
Electric Boogaloo. Alabaster. Take us to the next very algorithmically friendly topic.
He just sign himself to the 15th man on the roster and not play. Mm. And then he'll get his seventh ring. All right, we're good. We're done. Wrap that one up.
He would sign guys, everyone else's sons to infuriate LeBron, but not Bronny. Yeah.
It is it's June, which means it's best shape of your life season.
Oh god.
And we got Zion dropping a Jordan brand ad. What are the chances this Jordan brand ad quells any concerns you had about his weight?
Let's see the ad. Ooh.
Well, it's not just this video of him doing bench presses and push-ups. Like, it's a full workout themed ad. It's not just, hey, look at the biceps.
But look at the biceps. I mean, for the podcast audience, it looks, I mean, it's glistening, it's veiny, it is throbbing. All of these things are terms that you could use to describe the muscles in question.
Yeah, I'm just going to leave that there. Let it sit for a second. I need a shirt off. Like, I mean, I need a shirt off. Like, if you tried to sell me on this, like, I've been to many gyms and I've seen guys who go to the curl rack and spend all their time there. And then you go in the locker room and not one ab, looking thin.
Also, the shine, like this, I would say the chances that I'm gonna say 10% to answer the question, yeah. Because in the Instagram era, we all know the angles, We all know the filters. We all know the tricks in that sort of like dating app era. Like you just can't trust like still photos and short
catfishing?
Videos.
You call Zion a catfish?
Wait. Yes, I think Zion is catfishing. I saw this dude 2 months ago. 2 months ago.
I like how Jacoby's implying if you look a little closer, you can see Zion has those like Instagram filter freckles that make everybody hot. It's like, why does he have those also? Yeah, that's weird. His cheeks are rosy.
Airbrushing them. It's a baggy tank top. That ain't doing it for me, man.
Yeah, have you guys seen how they make like those fast food photo shoots? Where it's like instead of milk, it's blue. Like they make that Big Mac look more delicious than it's ever looked. It does feel like they definitely oiled Zion up with some of those, you know, some of those substances.
They greased them, they airbrushed them, they put a cutesy filter on them.
To Dominique's point, it is very much an arms focus. It's an arms race. Let's just say that. Nike is in an arms race. Not a lot of thighs, not a lot of stomach, not a lot of chest. A lot of profiles, like, you know, they make him look really good, and this is really good for him and them.
I'm going 9% too. I mean, if that was the goal, I mean, if the goal was to make us stop talking about it or make us believe that his weight is no longer an issue, like, I never really had a problem with his weight, but
there's a 10-second video of Luka working out that came out last week too. A 10-second video of him like pushing a ski sled. I'm like, dog, I worked out for 10 seconds this weekend too. You know what I mean?
Did anybody ever get to the bottom of the Jokic situation? Remember when he came back so thin?
Oh yeah.
You remember that? And then he blew up again? What was that?
Listen, if the thing about Luka and Jokic and Zion is two of them are sort of like MVP candidates and one of them is just sitting on the bench all the time. So it's like when you can look like Jokic does, when you play like Jokic does.
Yeah.
They're just playing themselves into shape. They're still all playing themselves into shape. I'm going to go super majority on this. Give me 67%. I realize this now. Like, what am I going to think about next time I think about Zion? I'm going to think about those veins. Like,
Great transition.
Claim credit for it, and I'm going to leave someone else to make it.
Boom. The veins. Speaking of veins.
Thank you. We'll move on to some baseball and some
what?
Veins. My question.
All you had to do, he whispered it to you. Speaking of veins. Goodness gracious.
No, use a pun. Use a pun.
Well, I was so ready. I couldn't pivot.
I will not let that transition go in vain.
Look at him. He's on fire.
Come on. I do this for a living.
I had this follow-up question. I was going to ask if you guys thought that Zion was going to be in shape to start the season, but then the transition was there and I choked. Hand up. My bad. I choked. All right. Next topic. What are the chances that Kyle Farnsworth looks like he could still play?
Kyle Farnsworth. We're talking about Kyle Farnsworth. Oh my God.
You haven't seen this, dude.
No.
Pablo has not seen this picture that literally everybody saw yesterday. I love this story more than anything else, so I'm going to start. That is too much, dude. Kyle Farnsworth. Eat yourself a hamburger. Take a couple days off at the gym. That looks unhealthy and odd. And like sometimes you can be so good at something that you're actually bad at it. And that is him with lifting weights and being in shape.
David, you gave him a lot of advice there, and you did not give him the one piece of advice that it seems clear that he needs to take. So he does need to stop consuming something. It don't seem to be food or beverage. It seems to be something that comes at the end of a pointy something, allegedly.
What are you trying to, Dominique? Allegedly. I mean, obviously you didn't watch as much of the Amber Heard Johnny Depp trial as I did because, you know, that's you have to throw that allegedly in there.
I said it several times. Yeah. I didn't watch the trial, but I know Alabaster don't want to get us sued, but I feel like I will win in court. Like, I think I would just show the judge this picture, like, come on, judge.
You know what? What I would show the judge, I would first off, like, I had not, so yes, I had not seen this photo until now. Kyle Farnsworth, for the podcast audience, I actually am not going to help the podcast audience because what I want to compare him to is another photo on my phone. Have you guys seen that jacked cow? He looks like this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
It's just like, why is anything alive looking like this?
That cow
looks like
steroids.
The jacked cow.
Well, this reminds me of a thesis.
Allegedly.
I'm going to steal from my friend Kevin Wilds. He's like, sometimes you can be so good at something that it stops being cool. Like, if you watch someone juggle 35 balls, you're like, you spent way too much time on this. Like, you've crossed the cool threshold. Yeah. And I feel that's the way with Kyle Farnsworth with working out. It's like, at some point, he looked great. He was in great shape. I was like, oh, man, the idyllic male body. And at some point, I'm like, you just look like you're no longer human. And I'm worried about your mental health because you're spending so much time in the gym drinking protein shakes and maybe
That is interesting, though, because I do. Oh, he's 46 years old.
46?
Older than all of us, I believe. But the
that hurt my feelings. It was a little subtle shot.
I believe.
Yeah, a little subtle shot there.
He's older than all of us feel.
For sure.
The point that you were bringing up is like, okay, there's a level of muscle that looks good. Mm-hmm. He passed that, like, 35 pounds ago, 3% body fat ago. Like, he passed it a long time ago.
You know what he has, Dominique?
Why glasses? Like, I feel like if you're really willing to do all this, you should go ahead and get some contacts, some LASIK, or something. Take the glasses off.
Well, that first off, two thoughts. Number one, that is the greatest argument against the use of HGH, which does address eyesight. So clearly, allegedly, if he's wearing glasses, he's allegedly not benefiting from that.
I'm glad we're doing this on ESPN because I'm old enough to remember that ESPN used to dedicate a lot of time to this stuff. Like dudes in thongs just flexing. Like that used to be on like five nights a week between like 10 and 11. It was just like the hot body competition with just like dudes flexing and standing on stage.
First take was very different in the hot body competition era.
Yeah, exactly.
But that guy also, Kyle Farnsworth, also has, just put that picture up one last time. He has his abs. Dominique was calling for shirtlessness, and we've gotten it in a macro dose. Mm. He has the abs of a Ninja Turtle action figure. Like, he has that shell. Like, what is that? Like, it doesn't look human.
And I do want to answer Alabaster's question. Could he play? No. He throws one pitch, he tears everything. Like, he tears every single muscle if he tries to throw one pitch over 40 miles an hour.
I'm not sure all his muscles aren't torn already. But
I didn't know we were talking about baseball. He could definitely play a role in, like, Magic Mike 5, so 100%.
No, that's the point. Dude, he's past sexy. Like, that's not sexy anymore. I guarantee you no one finds that attractive.
Okay.
Oh, maybe. First of all, you have not spent enough time in the Jersey Shore. My guy,
Whoa. I take that back.
Not one.
A 90-minute drive south, everybody finds that attractive.
No, not that. A version of that, but not all the way there.
Maybe without the glasses, sorry.
Okay, there we go. Now I understand.
Why is this real-life Ninja Turtle thinking better than me with his glasses?
Yeah. We can move on. I know, Dominique, you're dancing around it, but you just wanted to say that you had a better bod than Kyle Farnsworth. But I digress.
Just selfishly shaming.
I'm being completely honest with you. I think all three of us do. Like, I do not find that in the slightest bit attractive. Like, that doesn't look good to me. It looks scary.
I'll be honest with you. I'm not even going to take that as an insult. I'm just going to take the compliment.
Yeah, it was meant as an insult.
Yeah, sure. I'm
going to take the compliment.
I would swap with Farnsworth because I think he's also
wouldn't.
Super. He just worked out and he's super flexing. I think regular Farnsworth doesn't look so alien.
They don't make shirts that fit him. So no matter which shirt, unless he gets all of his t-shirts custom made, every shirt he puts on looks absurd. And he's walking to a place and they already think all these things about you. That doesn't look good. I don't care what you say.
If there is an adjective that does not apply to this man anymore, it is regular.
Right, let's move on. I got a question for you and then a soundbite for you to listen to from Garrett Wilson. What are the chances the NFL should get rid of rookie dinners?
Mm. They did tell me about the dinner. I got to take all the receivers to a dinner. Mm-hmm. That's going to be cool. I'm excited for that.
It's not going to be cool.
So this is the video from the Pivot Podcast. I don't know if the audience can hear it.
Oh, yeah. The Louis the 13th you're going to have to buy.
But Ryan Clark is having Garrett Wilson on his show, the Pivot Podcast, with Channing Crowder, right? And who's the other guy on it? Who's great? Fred Taylor. Yep. They have great interviews. And Garrett Wilson is this like adorable rookie on the Jets. He's like a top pick, right? Receiver, I believe, for the Jets. And Dominique, I mean, you explain for us like how it
first
is
of
that
all,
this is so ridiculous.
The Pivot is a very good podcast. I'm surprised. Well, I guess I'm not surprised that this is the first time we're talking about it, because they've had other things go viral that we could not talk about on here that were much more entertaining than that particular segment. But so rookie dinner, you're a rookie, you get drafted by a team, then you got to take out your position group or your side of the ball, offense or defense, you take them out to a dinner, and then the players, the veterans, like purposely run the bill up extra high, take bottles home, order the most expensive, like...
Wait, to go is part of the deal here too?
I mean, it's kind of a hazing thing. So like, it's not physical hazing, it's like emotional, which feels worse. It's financial hazing. So yeah, my rookie year, I had to do it. I was a third round pick, and they hit me over the head for a game check at one point.
Which is?
It was a lot. Probably back then, it was probably like $10,000, $11,000, maybe $13,000, something like that. And I hated it. So the following year, of course, I did not pass that traditional. And I never went to a rookie dinner that I was not the one who was paying. Just because I thought it was asinine to like, what are we doing? This is just mean. We all can afford to buy dinner and fancy liquor we want to. Why are we abusing this poor kid just because he got drafted? And yeah, in Baltimore we had a first round pick. Also, I was going to say there were never really first round picks in my position, but in Baltimore we had a first round pick, Jimmy Smith, and just felt stupid. I don't know, whatever. I hated it.
I'm gonna go counterpoint here, Dominique. The problem isn't the fact that there are rookie dinners. It's the veterans' behavior.
Yeah.
We've all seen the receipts. This is really on the vets. The receipts, it's like 75 shots of Louis 15 or whatever it is. And it's just like, you can just buy a bottle for one-tenth of that price. It's the veterans running up the bill part. Like, I don't mind if, hey, take us out to dinner, but something reasonable, $3,000. You know what I mean? But like, when you're getting up to mid fives is when it starts to get a little silly, especially for someone who was drafted in the third round, obviously first round talent. But the checks that come in for a third round pick and a first round pick are very different. So I think that they should be doing this, but the vets should just be more mature and responsible.
Yeah. Yeah. Pablo? I mean, I don't know. Dominique's the type of guy, though, when I go to dinner with him, he like tries to pay before you can even pay, because that's his power move. So I feel like, yes, there is positive intent here in Dominique being a guy who wants to see the change he wants in the world, I guess, wants to be that change. But like, I feel like also he gets off on paying for people in a way that's a different kind of kink. So
let's be honest. You get Gatory. You get real Gator on it whenever we go to dinner.
How dare you?
You get so Gatory.
How dare you?
And wow. You sipping all the Gatorade before you get there. And then all of a sudden the check comes and T-Rex Pablo shows up. I can't reach it.
So Dominique, I'm more in your camp, and I have some advice for our audience.
If anything.
I have some advice for our audience. Here's one thing that I do is I don't, when it seems like we're wrapped, I will go to the bathroom and on the way find the server, give them the credit card so the discussion never happens. The bill just shows up. We don't have to argue about it. Yeah. We don't have to look at Pablo, get all weird and be like, well, I only ordered three waters.
No, he's done that, Jacoby. Yeah. He's done that. He's done that.
No. I used to do it. But then I realized I'm just wasting time. If I don't got to pee, well, I'm going to get up, because I know when the check comes, old Gator face over there is going to go.
I like to sit down at dinners with a preemptive understanding of who's paying for it, especially like a double date. I'll go to the guy and I'll be like, listen, we're chopping this no matter what down the middle. I just want you to know that before we even walk in the door. Or I'll say, I invited you here.
Right.
You're from out of town. This is on me. Let's not discuss it.
You know what I mean? Like the uncomfortable. Yeah. Like,
hold on.
If we got enough money, like if we got to go item for item, then that's your business. That's fine. But I do not want to do that. So like, I'm going to go ahead and go, like, we split it down the middle, or I'm going to pay off the bat. Or if the checks come, I'm like, you get me next time. I say that to Pablo every time. And time Pablo's like,
slander,
yeah, I'll get you next
slander,
time.
Then, slander, wow. Defamation.
Next time comes.
It seems like you guys really need to work this out.
What happened, Jacoby, this happened once in the Seaport when we were doing, I think, High Noon at some point. We got lunch or whatever. And we actually did pay. We split the bill. The problem is that we both have the same credit card.
Yeah.
And we took home the wrong one. And none of us noticed until days later.
Yeah, and Pablo had a big bill.
I took
his card all the way back to DC, and I was cracking that head. Yum! Give me that. Some of that. Excuse me, stranger. Would you like a meal?
Bam. No, I will take the platinum sex wing, please. The platinum sex wing.
That's right.
Top of the line.
That's right. I want the subscription service. Give me the subscription service sex wing. Yeah. I want upgrades every couple of months.
Yes. I love this. Pablo, give me a percentage. We can move on.
Yeah. We did. You're right. I forgot. We did split that one time. It was lunch.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to go 50% true to who I am as an equal partner.
Oh, wow. Well done.
Thank you.
All right, Jacoby, we're going to have a payoff whenever we go to dinner together. Mm-mm. I'm going to go to the bathroom before the meal even starts. I'm going to go there before we show up. Before we make reservations, I'm going to leave my credit card at the door.
All right, guys, let's quickly hop along to we're going to skip Shohei Ohtani and go to Daryl Morey. There are rumors that the 76ers want to sign PJ Tucker and trade for Eric Gordon. My question.
Okay, so to be clear, what's happening is there is an all-time great Asian superstar named Shohei Ohtani, and instead we're going to go and try to bully the resident Asian American on the show by talking about PJ goddamn Tucker.
What do you think about PJ goddamn Tucker?
The floor is yours. The floor is yours, Pablo.
If Daryl Morey gets the band back together and acquires PJ Tucker and Eric Gordon, then what do you want me to say?
What's Ryan Anderson?
You want me to say
right
that I'm
where's
excited?
Ryan Anderson? Yeah. Where's Ryan Anderson? Let's get him out there. Clint Capella.
Yeah, can we get all of the guys who missed 27 threes in a row together? Can we just get all of them on the team that needs to shoot threes?
Trevor Ariza was on that team too.
Daniel
right?
House who got kicked out of the bubble.
Daniel, took off the I and replaced it with the U. Ended up being a woman he invited to the room. I'm just trailing off here in the hopes that someone else prevents me from having to answer this because I get it. PJ Tucker is 37, but useful. Eric Gordon is Eric Gordon, but also Eric Gordon. These are all strong arguments in favor of these men. We know who they are. But 3 years, $30 million. I mean, Daryl loves Daryl's guys. I mean, he's getting the band back together. That is what is true if these reports are accurate. So.
Do you feel better? I guess the question is, do you feel better about your championship aspirations and finally the process being completed? Do you feel better about
don't
it?
Don't put that on me.
If you,
don't
I mean,
put
you,
that on me.
Pablo, you created the process. It's on you.
I did.
Okay, so it's
I
on
did
you.
Create it.
You don't get the claim that you created and then pretend like it's not on you. It's on
How
you.
How many times do I have to say that the process ended in 2016 when Sam Hinkie left
Pablo,
the job? What has
Pablo,
happened since?
That is horseshit. Because you get stressed out every time they play a game. You
there
care.
There have been five general managers since then.
All
of
right.
course I care.
We could call it something else. But the point is, you care.
One of which taken down by their wife's burner account.
Shout out to Ben Dietrich, one of the great stories of all time, truly. But no, I mean, look, I want PJ Tucker. I just don't know if that's going to be the thing that makes me feel good about next season. In fact, I know it's not. It's not. I just want a guy who can stop the other superstar and thank you.
Hey, by the bell.
God, we can talk about credible defense.
Next week, we can have the announcement that James Harden signed a 5-year max deal. It's going to be great.
Nice. Lisa Turtle. Great character on Saved by the Bell.